It's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 community managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
And we're back for another episode of the Award Travel 101 podcast. I'm here with special guest JT Genter, and I'm going to ask you a question. So have you ever stopped yourself in life and thought, I'd love to travel the world on miles and points, and even better, get paid for it while you're doing it? So I have JT with us. He's going to talk about some of the news and enhanced offers that are out there and some of the things that are going on in the award travel community. JT, welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So before we get going into some of those news and enhanced offers and the things we normally talk about in the Award Travel 101 podcast, I want to kind of highlight a post in the Award Travel 101 community. For those of you who are listening and aren't familiar, the Award Travel 101 podcast is based off the Award Travel 101 by Award Wallet community on Facebook. You can find us at Award Travel 101. We are a community of over 90,000. I think we just crested 91,000 members in the community. So you can find a lot of interesting things, and we have many posts every day that go over different topics in the travel rewards and loyalty field. And we have a trip post by Inga KC, and she had a last minute booking. She had a cruise to Antarctica. I remember there was a deal where a big group of people had canceled this one cruise, and there was suddenly, it's very expensive to get to Antarctica. I've seen some of the prices on these cruises there. And I mean, we're talking five figure numbers that are not at the base of those five figure numbers. So I remember that there was a post by one of our travel agents in Award Travel 201 advertising this. It was like a 33% of the retail price. So, I mean, we're talking a very great deal. But we have a post that she shared kind of about the not only the way she booked, and she used points, kind of points as cash. She used like travel portal booking, and because it was close in and she didn't have any good ways to get there. So she used that and generated some points in the process. And I just want to remind members or listeners here that you can share that as well. You can share your wins, whether big or small. I talked about some of the different ways that I find myself winning with miles and points strategies, whether the trips are, you know, small or big. So you can do lots of different things using your miles and points. So moving forward, let's talk about some news and enhanced offers. And JT, it's right up your alley. So we have a complete guide to American airline status. Nobody knows American Airlines like JT. So you've been executive platinum for years.
Since I actually looked up recently, because sadly I did not requalify this year, but since December of 2016, I've been executive platinum and earned every year, even through COVID. I front loaded 2020, thankfully. So I earned it that year and then earned it in 2021. So sadly did not re-qualify last year. Then switched to loyalty points. Definitely increased the gaming that people could do. You could earn points towards status through shopping portal bonuses and all that. But however, both my wife and I are both had been executive platinums for many years, and we focused all of our earnings on her. So we got her up to executive platinum, and I fell flat at just platinum pro.
Well, and that's no slouch either. For maybe for those in the gaming community, that's not quite making it. But I'm betting that a lot of people who were just flying and didn't play any of the loyalty point games struggled a bit more throughout this past year because of the requirements going up or making the flying parts of this a little tougher. Yeah, you know, it was my first time hitting it, and I did it because I had the opportunity to spend my way and kind of game my way through that process. And I was like, you know, it was never a better year to do it because I was able to convey that into a status challenge with United, who is my home airport airline. And I was able to utilize that and some other little perks to do 1K. And I have 1K at least through next year. So we'll see how those kind of go back and forth and see which one works better for me.
Excellent. Yeah. Re-qualifying, I'll be interested to hear your strategy re-qualifying on United, because I felt like they, when they first rolled out those premier qualified points, it felt like there was definitely some ways to earn that through long haul premium economy flights, and especially like Singapore Airlines out of New York. But they put a bunch of caps on there. I feel like really made it a lot harder to re-qualify.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm looking at what I have planned this year, and given that most of mine is more short haul flights, I just don't see. I'm probably going to be lucky if I can re-hit silver here. So it's going to be a quite a drop from 1K and all the nice treatments of that to mere silver status. But moving on to from American, and this one was a sad thing to see. And I thought we actually had an extra day. We are recording this on March 9th. And so Etihad, new chart. It's live now.
Sadly, yes, it is. It's not, their bookings don't seem to be completely live yet. They're transitioning, but they have posted the award charts. And as expected, just all of our favorite sweet spots just gone. Like, there's don't want to cry over spilled milk too much, but I mean, that award chart was so quirky. I mean, it was all I think it was Royal Air Maroc flights over 2,000 miles were priced in the same, whether you're flying 2,001 miles or across the Atlantic. It was just 44,000 miles in business. Now they've completely switched over to a distance-based chart. The only silver lining that we could find is that super short flights on American Airlines, flights under 500 miles, have dropped down to 6,000 miles each way. But besides that, it's brutal. It's just sad to see.
Yeah, I was looking at this, and with that's distance based, and this is all to simplify it, because they had so many different partners, and they had a different unique chart for each of these partners that they had. But with most of us looking at it for American and some of those sweet spots, I love the idea of flying flagship first and having access to those flagship first lounges, and being able to do that domestically, get that lie flat seat, even on the 321s. If you're a Boston-based flyer, this is extra bad news, because it could be up to 3.2 times more expensive at the 80,000 point for that flagship first, whereas it used to be 25,000 Etihad,
which was
miles.
So just a screaming deal. And the secret there was that they Etihad did actually have a first class price for American Airlines. So it will be interesting to see how, if they're pricing flagship first class domestically, if they're treating that as first class or as business class. Because the old award chart did have, it was business class was 25,000 and first class was 32,500. But as you said, you could fly flagship first class, some of the best products in the sky, for just 25,000 Etihad miles. And now that's 80,000. That is rough. So,
and that's from Boston only. So if you're doing flagship transcons from Boston, LAX is just under 2,600 miles, and to San Francisco is just over 2,600 miles. And that cuts off, the cutoff point is 2,500 miles. So if you're doing JFK or Miami, I believe you're okay. But then from Boston, those people are getting hammered.
Yeah, for sure.
Still not great, because you're looking at 67,000 Etihad miles instead of 80, but it's those people were from Boston. Like I said, that's the big hit.
Yeah.
On to something a little bit more positive. You dropped an interesting story here on Award Wallet the other day.
Yeah. So this popped up just kind of out of the blue, looking at Marriott's transfer partner list. And I noticed that they revamped how points transfer to United. So to give some background, Marriott and United have this partnership where Marriott elites can get United status if you have Titanium Elite or higher. United elites can get status of Marriott there's all these little perks as part of this partnership. One of those was that you could transfer points from Marriott to United with a 10% bonus. So it's a little bit hard to like think through the math. Instead of a 3 Marriott points to 1 United mile, it would be 3 Marriott points equal to 1.1 United miles. So I can see why they simplified it and they got rid of that 10% bonus. So I can see why they simplified it, but it's still kind of a bummer because that those points do add up. However, arguably, they may have replaced it with something better, which is if you transfer at least 60,000 Marriott points, you get a 10,000 mile bonus. So you take the 3-to-1 conversion. So 60,000 Marriott points would typically transfer to 20,000 United miles. You're getting a 50% bonus on top of that. So instead of 20,000 miles, you get 30,000 miles. That effectively boosts the transfer rate to 2-to-1 instead of 3-to-1. Still a bunch of math that has to be done there, but it's a really excellent opportunity this year transferring 60,000 points at a time. It's really a bummer to see that 10% bonus get dropped for the smaller transfers, which were really useful for just topping off your account.
Yeah, but if you're going to do something like this, so whereas you would have gotten 27,500 United miles for 60,000 Marriott points before, you're now getting 30,000 United miles. So it's actually a better if you are going to make that 60,000.
Right.
And I don't see myself ever transferring Marriott points to United any other way. I'm probably going to transfer Chase points the way that I earn them. But, you know, I could definitely see that, you know, for those people just looking for a few miles, that might be a little bit of a hurt. But I think for the people who are looking to use this for better value redemptions, this is a positive net gain.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, and especially for those big transfers. I actually, when I was writing up this post, I asked my wife, would you rather stay one night at Al Maha, which is now pricing around 120,000 points per night for peak, or would you rather fly United Polaris business class from the US to Europe? Because now if you transfer those 120,000 Marriott points to United, you get 60,000, which if you can find award availability on United, that's all it costs to fly to Europe.
Yeah, I was able to grab that. And we talked about that in previous podcasts that I was able to book all the way to Croatia on, and it was a little bit more, 66,000, because it's can't always tell when they're going to charge 60 or 66 or 63. So it kind of bounces around, but that falls into that saver level. And it was Cleveland to Newark, Newark to London, London to Zagreb, and all for 66,000 United miles.
Excellent.
And all three of them in business class, even if that's, you know, not all life.
Euro business,
seats,
yeah. Yeah.
Moving forth, we have Virgin. And we talked about this a number of times over the past couple of weeks, and that we were expecting something to change. And they joined SkyTeam on March 2nd. Nothing happened. JT, where are we at now?
They saved the gut punch. I'm imagining the meetings that they had over at Virgin Atlantic where they're like, okay, so we're going to devalue this, but we don't want that to be the big news. We want to have all the positive press about them joining SkyTeam. So they saved the gut punch for, I think it was 5 days later. A few days after they joined SkyTeam, they made a change to their award chart for ANA awards. So this is Virgin Atlantic Flying Club flying on ANA. And this is one of the best sweet spots in the game for years and years. And you can fly ANA first class from the East Coast or Central US to Japan for 60,000 points, which is spectacular. For reference, United charges 121,000 miles for the same. So you could literally book a round trip via Virgin for less than you could book a one way via United. So spectacular value. And overnight with no notice at all, Virgin Atlantic jumped the price on that by about 40%. So it's still crazy enough because it was such a good deal. Even the 40% increase still makes it one of the best ways of booking those ANA first awards. But still, it's really sad to see a huge jump in price, especially without any notice.
The positive note there is that even though it did jump, I guess you're looking at it and you realize that Virgin is also one of those partners of the banks that often has transfer bonuses. So we all looked at it and said 120,000 points, but most of us weren't using 120,000 points. We were using like 90 to 100,000 points because of the transfer bonuses from Citi or Amex or Chase or whoever. There were all these anywhere between 20 and 40% bonuses. In fact, I booked both my brother and sister-in-law on an ANA round trip business. And that was before they went and split it up. So now you can book those tickets one way. But at the time, they were the same as ANA's Mileage Club, where you had to book it round trip. And it was like 190,000 Virgin miles. But I had transferred so many points in during one of those 40% transfer bonuses. It's like maybe what, 140 or 150,000 points realistically. So, you know, two people going in business class round trip for 140,000 points to Japan is just incredible. And this is sad, but there's one other positive out of this is that so far they haven't changed the business class rates.
That's right. And that is still what I wouldn't sleep on this if you have been waiting to make this happen. Of course, availability is really tough to find. If you have Expert Flyer, which is a paid service, I would set up a lot of alerts for any dates that you might be able to fly because the award availability pops up, gets scooped up quickly. I know, I think I've got like 80 of my alerts set for ANA business class right now. I'm hoping to fly back from Japan. I already have flights over to Japan next January. But I'm hoping to fly back in ANA business. But yeah, so from between the West Coast and Japan, the West Coast of the US and Japan, just 45,000 miles one way in business class. Incredible deal. And then only just slightly more from the East Coast. So you fly from New York all the way to Tokyo for just 47,500 miles in business class. Again, that's Virgin points. That's before transfer bonuses, which right now there's two 30% transfer bonuses. So you're talking less than 40,000 bank points that you can transfer in and have enough points to transfer or to book ANA business class. It's just an incredible deal.
And if you do that from New York, they have the flagship product, business class product, which has often been compared to many other airlines' first class product, which is, I believe, called The Room. And you can kind of not feel that sting of that no notice change from Virgin Atlantic.
Yep. I would appreciate if you don't book during January of 2024, because that's what I'm trying to book.
So you had another piece that we had some news on Wednesday that came down that Bilt has a new partner that they are working with. And you had an interesting twist on this.
Yeah. So Bilt has partnered with Lyft to let Bilt members earn Bilt points on Lyft rides. So it's being sold as 5x points if you are a Bilt member and you use your Bilt MasterCard to pay for the ride. Sounds pretty good. It's pretty appealing. However, you have to have both. So if you're just a Bilt member, you can earn 2x points on all Lyft rides. This is one of those programs. Lyft is one of those services where they partner with quite a few different loyalty programs. So Lyft partners with Hilton, Delta, and then Alaska, I think, was the newest one that happened last fall, and now Bilt. So you can only choose one of the four to link to, and Bilt jumps right out into first place by offering 2x points on all Lyft rides versus 1x on Alaska, 1x Delta, except for Delta rides to airports, which is 2x. Yeah, there's a bunch of exceptions with this. But all that to say, don't get sold on the 5x when you can earn 12x points on Lyft rides by splitting up. So you would want to link your Bilt membership to Lyft, and you'll earn 2x points on all Lyft rides. But you want to pay with a Chase card. So Chase has a partnership with Lyft through March of 2025, I think it is, where most cards will earn at least 5x points or 5% on Lyft rides. And the Chase Sapphire Reserve, you can actually earn 10x points on Lyft rides. So what I boil it down to is, why earn 5% or 5x when you can earn 12x?
Yeah.
It'll take a little bit of work to set up Bilt as your loyalty partner, but your Chase Sapphire Reserve, if you have one, as your payment card. But then you can set it and forget it.
Yeah, and this doesn't make sense for everyone, because if you're not going to hold the Sapphire Reserve, maybe you have a Sapphire Preferred, then you have to decide whether you want 5x with built 5x built points, or if you want 2x built points and 5x with your Sapphire Preferred. So you're going to have 7x total, which is still a higher earnings, but then you look at the partner transfers, and if they're you're looking to move some points somewhere that Chase doesn't, like American Airlines or something along those lines, or Turkish or some of those unique partners that Bilt holds, I think that this is going to be a little bit of a game changer, in that I think a lot of people will move their points away from Hilton or Delta, because those Bilt points are more valuable than either of those.
Agreed. Yeah. And just a reminder to listeners to when you see these partnerships, look at what the other alternatives are. I mean, 5X isn't bad at all. If you're just going to earn 5X, that's better than nothing by just paying with a general rewards card. But always look at how else you can maximize a partnership like that.
Speaking of maximizing, you also shared a stacking deal, which is something we sometimes get into the weeds a little bit more and get into this nerdy stuff. But you want to talk about Life Miles?
Yeah, so this might be more of a 301 level hack, but it's totally accessible. And so right now, Life Miles is running a few different promotions. First of all, you can transfer points between Life Miles members, and you'll get 115% bonus. Of course, transferring between members isn't free, but the cost that you pay to transfer compared with the bonus points that you get for transferring ends up like you're buying points for 1.3 cents each, which is pretty darn good deal. Add on to that Life Miles is also running a transfer bonus for all transfers from City Points, where you'll get a 20% transfer bonus on those transfers through March 31st. So this is a post that we published over the weekend to hopefully give people some time to read and comprehend it all, where we kind of break down stacking those two promotions. So the idea and the headline of it all is that you can book Lufthansa business class from the US to Europe for just 25,000 City Points plus $500 of cash. That's a lot of cash, but that's a lot fewer points than you may think you need for a business class product. Of course, you can avoid buying miles through this promotion, and you can just transfer more City Points to Life Miles to have the points to book the or the Life Miles to book it. But this is kind of a creative way of looking at how, if you have a smaller balance of points, you can still accelerate that to have a really nice luxury business class flight across the Atlantic.
Yeah, and a lot of people look at it and they're chasing after some of these special fares where, somebody miskeys a fare type and you want to buy that $500 business class. But, that doesn't happen very often. And with the summer travel and everything that's happened since the pandemic, we're seeing airfares unlike any that we've ever seen before. We're seeing, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 one-way business class fares. And if you can book this for 25,000 points and $500, that's less than some of these fuel surcharges or added surcharges that a lot of your airlines like British Airways or Lufthansa, some of them are adding on to those fares anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. British Airways, I feel like an economy flight across the Atlantic could have $500 of tax and fees. So to pay that out of pocket for a business class product with just 25,000 points, that's definitely an offer worth chasing if you don't have that enough points, or you're not able to generate points to just transfer in and book it, because I think it's just $31 of taxes and fees on the actual award itself. Most of that $500 is from buying miles as part of the transfer bonus, transferred between partners, that is.
Awesome. So let's move on to our next segment, and we have what bonuses did we get? And Angie and I have been talking about some of these here over the past few weeks, but I had gone on an app spree. So I applied for a whole bunch of cards over a short period of time. And I've now received all of the cards that I've had. I received an Aviator personal card, a City Platinum Advantage personal card. I've completed the spend on both of those by knocking out my home equity loan through Plastiq. So I effectively bought American miles for 0.41, 0.42 cents a piece. Does that number ring a bell, JT?
Excellent. That does ring a bell, yes. That's so deal of the year worthy.
Planted trees for that. So I generated 141,000 American miles paying off my home equity line of credit. Just after that, I got the United Business card. I've generated the spend through Rakuten and stacking options there. So I got paid out earlier, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. So I got the Rakuten payout, and all total, I think I've generated like a little over 400,000 Amex points since the beginning of the year. I've had 100,000 ultimate rewards through a Chase Inc. card, which I'm probably going to look at getting another one. I'm seeing at least if I can try not see if I can get my wife one as well. And then the 141,000 through spend and bonuses on the two American cards. And then, of course, this United Business card enhanced offer right now. So knocking out all those, I am at about 760,000 points and miles so far through 2023, which by my own personal valuations will buy me a little over $20,000 worth of travel. And everybody has to keep in mind that you have to value the points according to your value. If I were to use retails, maybe these numbers might be higher, and I'll share why a little bit after you tell me a little bit about some of the bonuses you got.
I was laughing at that. I was like, if you transfer that all to Delta, you can get a round trip economy award to Auckland or Sydney. But that's a good reminder that, yeah, points and miles definitely, like, it takes time to learn the sweet spots and the best places to transfer, but it definitely pays off, and you definitely get $20,000 worth of travel there. My wife and I are in two-player mode. We have three cards that we have open that we're working towards sign-up bonuses. But this week, we did finish off. There was an Amex business checking account that if you opened up, put, I think it was $5,000 into it, and complete 10 transactions, you earn 60,000 points. I think we just crossed over the threshold where we had the deposit in there for long enough, so we earned 60,000 membership reward points. We're working on the Blue Business Plus. There was an incredible pop-up offer that my wife had on her Amex account when we logged in. I think she already had a Blue Business Plus card, but it was one of those ones where, like, hey, sign up for a Blue Business Plus one and get 75,000 bonus points. Mind you, this is an excellent card. Generally has a very modest, very small bonus because it's a no annual fee card that earns 2x membership reward points on the first, I think it's 50,000 of spend.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So for a 75,000 point bonus on this no annual fee card, we couldn't turn that down. That one had a 12-month spend period. It had to spend 15,000. So we've been chipping away at that. The downside is it does have foreign transaction fees, and we're often overseas. So we're having trouble chipping away at that while we're overseas. But no worries. We have two other cards to spend on. Signed up for an Aviator Business card as well. You're working at the United Business. Yes.
I did finish an Aviator Consumer card. Okay. I'm actually eligible, I believe, for another Aviator Business, but we'll see. Nice. I'm working on those loyalty points, so I don't know if I want to chance losing that if I can't get requalified.
Yeah, and I can go on a little rant here. Remember earlier in the show where I said I didn't get executive platinum? So I signed up for this Aviator Business card in December, hoping to put a fourth quarter estimated tax payment, a very large one, on this Aviator Business to generate loyalty points. But Barclays drug their feet for like 3 weeks before they finally approved me for the card. I was calling back. They said, a different department has to check on it. Finally, I got approved. I'm like, it was like January 21st or something like that, after the window had closed to pay estimated tax payments for 2022. So I'm still spending on that one. I didn't put a massive estimated tax payment on that. That was an $80,000 bonus for spending $2,000 in 90 days. So we're getting close to finishing that off. But yeah, I was really hoping to use that to spend very heavily in order to generate loyalty points, but that didn't work out this time. And then the third one that I'm working on is Amex Business Platinum. Yet another one where Amex is like, hey, please take our points. We want to offer you a boatload of points, even though you already have a business platinum. So I made sure to take lots of screenshots showing that I'm already logged into my Amex account, that I was targeted for this, just in case they have any issues later on. But yeah, the offer was for another 150,000 bonus points on Amex Business Platinum for spending 15,000 in 3 months. And I'm chipping away at that. I'll probably make it a tax payment in April to finish that one off.
Yeah, Angie had four of those cards. So so she went hard on those business platinum 150K offers. And you know, who knows what you'll do with them, and probably ditch them after a year or so, or maybe see what the retention offers look like. But you know, with 150,000 membership reward points, we've talked about a lot of ways that you can do a lot of things with those points so far. And there's definitely some interesting things there.
Absolutely.
I want to touch on something that I talked about with the valuation, and why I say it's how I value it at, you know, around 20,000, because I average out the values or retail values. This, I say that those amount of points will buy me, or should buy me, you know, around $20,000. But that doesn't mean that that's what it's really worth. And you have to kind of look out and average out how, what you might think it's worth, and value it that way. Because I just used 80,000 of those 140 some thousand American miles. And I said, well, you know, those 140,000 American miles, I value American miles at just under 3 cents a mile. That's a value that I look at and say, that's what I want to receive as far as what, you know, I'm getting when I'm using those miles. But, you know, I just use 80,000 miles for a first class flight on JAL from Dallas, Fort Worth to Tokyo. And if you were to look at a retail price of a
one-way
JAL flight, yeah, just one way, it's almost $15,000. That's what the list price is. Now, are we going to pay that? That's why we collect miles and points. Nobody's going to pay that, you know, unless you're some, you know, multi-billionaire who has, you're probably not even going to fly it. If you're a multi-billionaire, you're going to be flying your own Gulfstream. But, you know, these are things that are just a lot of misuse of valuation in the miles and points field, where people say, oh, I got, you know, $15,000. No, you bought something that retails for $15,000. Would anybody have paid $15,000? That's a different question. And maybe they are, I'm not. And so, you know, those miles, I could say my miles are worth, like, you know, multiple times. I mean, that's 18 cents per mile if you want to break it down as such. But I'm only valuing that American mile at just under 3 cents a piece, just the same as my United miles. I'm valuing at a little over 1.1 cents a piece, because that's what you're getting domestically. I'm looking at kind of what the domestic returns are. Can you get more? Absolutely. You can get a heck of a lot more if you're able to do that, but not everybody's able to use them for international first class, international business class. And some people just want to use them to take their families to Florida. They want to go to Disney World, or they want to do something that they weren't able to do before. So there's no shame in that. I just want to say why that I look at them that way, and you have to make your own assessment.
Absolutely. And if we didn't have points and miles, I think a lot of us would travel a lot differently, not just the cabins that we fly. But I mean, I recently booked Japan Airlines. I think they have a business and a first class for next January to Japan. Got to figure out which one to do. Either way, I was able to book a one-way international flight just at a whim, and because American Airlines allows free cancellations, I have plenty of AA miles in my account, be able to book that and be like, all right, if this trip works out, then we'll do that. Otherwise, just cancel and take the miles back, and I'll, you know, plan another trip. It allows such freedom and flexibility. And like, that's where the value is more to me, more than the $15 list price, is having that unbelievable freedom to be able to fly one way. As I did on this trip, I'm currently in Brussels, flew over on American Airlines flight. I'm flying over, flying back on the Life Miles award on Brussels. It gives this incredible freedom to fly these one-way, build these really complex trips that you just can't do with cash. And so that's one of the ways it makes it really hard to value miles. I mean, if it's just a domestic flight, you can pretty easily say, okay, well, I would have paid $150 for that. If it's, you know, 7,000 points, okay, cool. I got about 2 cents of value. But yeah, for international trips, especially when you start throwing one ways in there, it's really hard to value, to come up with a true value of what that provides.
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked at it, and like the flights I was telling you about were 66,000 miles over to Croatia with my dad. I'm doing that this summer. And the cash prices, I don't know anybody who would pay $3,000 a ticket for a Polaris flight, you know, over to Europe. I mean, the Polaris piece is just Newark to London. And then it's, you know, recliner style seats in, you know, the 737s or the A320s that are getting us the rest of the way there. But 66,000 miles says, you know, that takes care of us for business class. You get some lounge access and things like that. But is it worth $3,000? I would never pay $3,000. I'd pay maybe $500-$600.
Right.
You know, that's again, I like to touch on those. I like people to not feel like, hey, if they didn't get 18 cents per mile, that they're doing something wrong. You're not doing something wrong. But I like to see my miles and points return, generally speaking, at least 2 cents, because otherwise you can get no fee cash back cards that earn 2% back. So why wouldn't I want to get at least 2% or more out of my miles and points? And that's my own personal feeling on it.
Absolutely. Same page.
Let's talk more about JT. So JT is an epic writer of, you know, you hold, what is it, a Guinness Book of World Records or something?
No, that's actually one of my former colleagues, Darren Murph. I have not gotten any world records as far as I know.
But you do a lot of writing, and I met JT in the Award Wallet community and Miles and Points field. And he is now the editor-in-chief at Award Wallet, which is who the Award Travel 101 Facebook community is sponsored by. So Award Wallet is our parent company. And tell us a little bit about you as a miles and points person. What got you going, and what keeps you going every day? What things do you love about this field and keeps you moving forward?
I would say I love everything but the devaluations. That's an easy one. So how I got into points and miles was actually, I haven't been around that long in some ways. It was 2014 when I first applied for, funny enough, as we'll be talking about later on, it was a Chase Inc. Business card that was offering a record at the time, 70,000 points, Chase Ultimate Reward points. And honestly, in 2014, I didn't even know what that got you. but I knew I had a flight that I was looking at going to China. My wife at Katie, who is also in the points and miles space, she was getting her PhD at the time and was working on robots to play soccer. And there was a soccer robot World Cup in China in a city that many of us had not heard of called, it's a blank blank on that city name. Katie is helping correct me. So it's Hefei, China. I've already forgotten it. It's a, you know, small Chinese city of 10 million people. small by some standards. Anyways, I needed to fly over there for this competition. And the flights were going to be about $2,000 round trip. And I was like, all right, so there's got to be some hack or something, you know, some way that I can get that for a lot cheaper. Long story short, I found that United allows flights on Air China to China for 35,000 miles each way in economy. That's all I was looking at flying at the time. And so I end up booking a round trip flight to China for one credit card signup bonus that cost me the $95 annual fee out of pocket. And I was hooked. So immediately started doing tons of applications throughout 2015. I think my wife and I signed up for something around 20 cards. We had some multiple Apparamas where manufacturers spending just dove head first into points and miles. About that time, I started contributing to Points Guy, 2015, and they ended up bringing me on full time. I was working for them through February of 2020 when the pandemic happened and travel ground to a halt, which is when I switched over to really my first choice at the time, which was Award Wallet, which I've been talking with Eric for years and was finally happy to start working with them. So I'm super happy to be here. Super happy to have such a passionate community in Award Travel 101. And our Award Wallet comment section is always lively. But that's how we got started in this. And that's how we got into this.
So you took off, and not only did you kind of take off into miles and points, but you quit your real live work. You and Katie quit work and to do miles and points.
We did.
And travel the world. So tell us a little bit more how that decision came about and was made.
Yeah. So I trained as a tax accountant. I was a CPA no longer, and let that lapse. It was 2016. I was working full time in taxes. As I said, I was starting to write for the Points Guy in 2015. After tax season ended in the fall of 2016, there's usually like a gap in November and December where there's just not much work. And the accounting firm I worked for at the time, I said, hey, how about let's make a deal? I'll just take off the next couple of months. You don't have to pay me. I'm just going to do a bunch of traveling. I'll catch up on my articles. And, you know, I'll come back in January. Well, I haven't been back. I kind of got hooked on the travel. My wife and I think we lost something around 100,000 miles of travel over the next 3 months. Just happy to have the freedom to just travel. So we were going on mileage runs. We were, you know, just living it up. And we were so happy to do that we decided to transition to digital nomads in June of 2017. So we end up selling all of our stuff. We have some memories, photos, and all that we've left with parents. But we took off in two backpacks and traveled the world starting in July 2nd, 2017. And we haven't stopped. The pandemic slowed us down, but we ended up buying a recreational vehicle in 2020 so we could continue traveling even during the pandemic. But then as soon as we got vaccinated, we stored that. We still will go back every once in a while, but we hit the road again in July of 2021.
So what are some of your highlights throughout all of this time in miles and points through everything you've done over this course of time?
That's a tough question. That's a good question. A tough question. Because I've logged something like a million miles since we took off, and we've done everything from the United Island Hopper. We booked that with United Miles with a stopover in Majuro, so we got to see the Marshall Islands, which was a fascinating look. We rented a private island for a day for I think it was like $40, where like they dropped us off in this private island that had like canoes and all and snorkel gear and all that in the Marshall Islands. But just incredible experience like that. We ended up ending that trip in Mongolia, took an overnight train out of Mongolia into China, into Wuhan, China. We've seen actually Belgium arrived today. It's my 67th country. So we've been all over the world, booked so many first-class trips. We've done Etihad Apartments, American Airlines Flagship First a couple of times, done Emirates First, Cathay First, both my Wi-Fi travel on the same flight on that. We've had so many bucket list items that we've checked off.
You did all that because you were a multimillionaire, right?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't make that much money in taxes. I saved quite a bit because we figured when we went nomadic like this that we'd have to work off our savings. But thankfully, by using points and miles, we really have not had to pay much for flights. I mean, we still will pay for flights when it makes sense. But yeah, points and miles really is a difference maker.
No, I look at it and it's something that has really upgraded my entire travel experience, and mine is not as vast as yours and Katie's. I look at, you know, most domestic travels is a lot more where my strengths are, I guess, and it's where I've been able to go to this point. But I'm looking to expand that, and of course, you know, with the things that you can do. And that's why I've always continued to soak up whatever I can. And we talked about some of these sweet spots, and it's so sad to see them disappear and go away. And I'm sure people before us said the same things about a lot of these, but there's also these opportunities to get, you know, more and more points for some of these cards than ever before as well, to kind of, it doesn't take away that sting altogether, because we know that, you know, we could have paid 25,000 miles, you know, to do an Etihad booking for American Flagship. But if you can earn 150,000 points instead of, you know, 50,000 points, that kind of takes some of that away a little bit as well.
Absolutely. And we have seen that with the bonuses continuing to go higher. I mean, I was blown away and by that 70,000 mile bonus back in 2015. That's kind of ho-hum right now.
Yeah.
Now with 150,000 points being handed out like candy, if I am able to earn so much more.
With that, so what are some of your favorite programs? What do you use to fly? What do you use to stay? Obviously, you mentioned selling off everything or selling off a lot of things and storing some stuff. So I'm guessing that you're spending lots of nights in hotels and maybe doing some vacation rentals. I don't know if you're into that, but how are you doing these stays and how are you accomplishing them?
Yeah, so I'm still an accountant at heart, so I track everything meticulously. So I have a recap of 2022, exactly how many flight miles, which is about 110,000, how many nights we stayed in hotels, which is 227. We spent 85 nights in our RV last year, about 32 nights in friends and family houses, visiting, you know, family, our parents, only 2 nights in the Airbnb, and then 19 nights on red eye flights. So lots and lots of hotels between my wife and I. Again, we're two player mode. She's a globalist. We're both a Marriott Titanium. We're both IHG Diamond Ambassadors. We are Hilton Diamonds through the Aspire card. So we've got like all the statuses. Really, the programs that we use, I mean, we're in a Marriott, not now in Brussels. The Moxie was very reasonably priced back when my wife booked it. It was $120 a night, which is incredible. Wow. For how expensive Brussels is. Moxie isn't the nicest hotel, but hey, when you live out of hotels, you can't always have the nicest properties. As far as flights, we do, having been both been executive platinums for many years, we use American Airlines quite often. We learned how to fly partner premium economy and cheap premium fares to earn a lot of points. Just in February, we flew from New York through Helsinki to Singapore round trip in Finnair premium economy. It was $1,200, and we used an Amex offer to drop it down to just $900 round trip.
Yeah.
You saw that deal? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that earned us 45,000 AA miles each. And so, you know, then we turn around and we'll fly domestically on 68 awards, you know, for 7 different flights just on that one earning. So we use an AA miles quite often. Not as much United and Delta. Those have their sweet spots, and we'll use that actually in about a week, flying from Atlanta down to Wellington, New Zealand, which is a city that has been put on the map by, thanks to United. United, you remember that deal? That
special deal. Yeah, a lot of people were, nobody really knew if it was going to be honored, because it wasn't like a crazy deal. It wasn't like those American specials back just before the pandemic where you could fly to New Zealand. It was economy, but it was like, what was it, 5,000 miles
one way? Yeah,
one way. And so it wasn't quite like that, but it was like 60,000 miles pretty much anywhere that you could fly. So I know people went to Asia. I know people went to the Maldives. I know people who did Australia, New Zealand, and it was like 60,000 miles pretty much anywhere in almost unlimited Polaris openings. So
absolutely,
that's just almost impossible to find. So tell us more.
Yeah. So that I booked that. I was actually on a flight. I think it was Atlanta to Los Angeles when that deal popped up. And I actually saw the Instagram story. I saw, I think it was Zach Koenig, Wellington. Yeah. And so, I mean, the flight attendants are going up and down the aisles, like telling us to all put our equipment away. And I'm transferring Chase points to United, just like, 1 minute, I need to book this flight. So I booked Atlanta, Wellington, 60,000 United miles each.
Crazy.
To Polaris Crazy. Business class, including Houston to Sydney is the over water, and that's 17 hours. I think it's actually 17 hours and 45 minutes in Polaris business class, which we'll see if Polaris business class gets old. We'll say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as much as you traveled in economy during some of your early writer days, I remember some of your cohorts, you got kind of dumped on because they got to fly business class and you were doing the comparison from economy. So I'm yep. sure this will make up for it a bit.
Yeah.
So you've got some cool trips planned, and obviously you travel a lot. So you have the spreadsheets down and have a lot of trips coming up. You mentioned this trip coming up to New Zealand, and I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to move on to our final segment here before we call it a day. And something that was flagged as kind of interesting to me in our What You Didn't Know section, and is Rob DeCamp. And he said that if you're interested in seeing the total eclipse next year on April 8th, so I happen to actually be right in the path. It'll be going right through Cleveland, and you don't want to, be out, or you want to get a chance to see that, you can book some hotels and get those booked now before people start realizing that. And we have an article in Award Wallet that talks about some of the schedules and when the properties open up. And I'm just go through real quick here that Hyatt opens their schedule about 13 months in advance, or 394 days. So as of tomorrow, Hyatt should be bookable to book anywhere in that path if you want to see the total eclipse, because the next one is 21-ish years away or so, 21 years away before the next one comes through the U.S. So Hyatt, 394 days in advance. Hilton, 365 days in advance. Marriott, 352 days in advance. IHG, 350 days in advance. And Choice, while they don't open their awards until 100 days out, but the cool thing, and I talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts, is that the cool thing about Choice is that you can book anything pretty much that's open on points 100 days out. So if they have a suite or if they have a premium room, everything is at the standard rate. So you can find possibly sweet spots through the Choice program. And there's obviously some deals to be had there. As we wrap it up, JT, I want to thank you for joining us here. Where can listeners, readers find you if they find you on social media or thereabout?
I am at JT Genter everywhere. And that's J as in John, which is my first name, T as Thomas, middle name, and Genter, G-E-N-T-E-R. So I'm at JT Genter on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all the things. I post mostly on Twitter, but yeah, you find me at JT Genter everywhere.
And JT posts a lot of great information for free on Twitter, so you can definitely find that out. If you follow him there, there's all kinds of goodies there. And you can find us in the Award Travel communities in Award Travel 101. We have a paid community that is $90 annually in Award Travel 201, where JT shared the deal of the year back in the end of 2021 to let us all plant trees and get tons of American miles. We do have a consulting service, Award Travel 101. And I will share lots of these things in our show notes so that you can find us there. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Award Travel 101 Community. And we do have a meetup in the Twin Cities coming up in August. So if you want to join us there and get into a little bit more into the weeds with us, we'll be there towards the end of August. I'll leave that in the show notes as well. And support the Award Travel 101 Community using our links. Support Award Travel 101 at Award Wallet. So JT, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.